Have you ever played hide and seek? I remember one time I was a cabin leader at a camp just shortly out of high school, and they had a thing where all the cabin leaders went and hid. Where the camp was located, there was a lot of hiding places. It wasn't open. And I hid in what I thought was a good place. You know what? I got found. I didn't stay hidden. Well, we're looking at a situation where the Lord wasn't where they thought he would be. And they had to go find him. Now, he didn't deliberately hide, but when they looked for where they thought he would be, he wasn't there. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, we thank you for your mercy and love and grace. And we thank you for the truth of the Word of God. And we ask you to guide us as we look at your Word and speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 1. Years ago, back in the later 70s and 80s, there was a great boxer. He was described as floating like a butterfly and stinging like a bee. Anybody remember who he is? Muhammad Ali, right? Yeah. And, you know, everywhere he went, there were reporters, there were trainers, there was staff that followed him. And that was years ago. And then in the late 80s, there was a sports writer who wondered, whatever happened to him? He'd had Parkinson's disease this time about for 4 years. And so he went and visited Muhammad Ali, or Cassius Clay as he was originally known. And as they were there sitting and talking, he took him next door to the barn where he had all his trophies. And as he walked into the barn, he noticed along the edge were various newspaper clippings, pictures of him in his various dancing around on the one with a foot with his fist punching the air, another holding his championship belt high. As they looked, the reporter looked around. He noticed there were white streaks on the pictures. Pigeons had been there. Need I say more? Guano, shall we say? And as they were talking, then he walked over and he just turned the pictures down. Then he walked to the door and he mumbled something that the reporter didn't get. So he asked him, what did you say? And he is alleged to have said this: I had the world and it wasn't nothing. Look now. He was famous. But then when he was struck down, he said, what is fame? As we come, as we follow the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, he had to deal with the problem of fame. I think of, you know, even many child movie stars, how often their life is just a wreck. I think of one which is now, that was a child star, but is just in and out of the courts, refusing to follow court orders, just life a mess. Had fame, had money, but look now. And as I look at the Lord, how did he handle being famous? What did he live for? Muhammad Ali said, it's empty. What did the Lord live for? We notice verses 35 and following. And at even, that's 32, 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. What had been happening? The Lord had been ministering for a while. We know this from Luke chapter 4 and chapter 5. And just here in Mark, what had taken place? Well, on Saturday, he'd been in the synagogue, and there was a man who had a demon, and I call it the scream in the middle of the service. And he cast the demon out. And of course, people were amazed. Hey, this man has authority. He tells a demon to do something on his own authority, and the demon obeys. What kind of a guy is he? Who is he? And they're arguing and debating that. Then the evening, which is now their Sunday night, because they go Sunday night, Sunday, the people, the Sabbath being over, they had gathered in front of the door, and seemed like the whole village, virtually the whole village was in front of them. And people kept coming. People with demons. People with all sorts of sicknesses. All sorts of illness. And they were healed. People were saying, here is somebody who has authority, not only over demons, but over sickness. I can get cured of whatever's ailing me. And so people were saying, yeah, oh, you did it really work? Oh, yeah, it worked. And so people came Sunday morning looking for Jesus. But he wasn't there. And as I think about it, Lord, what did people expect you to live for? Up to this point, they thought, well, he's one who comforts those who are sick. You know, he heals them. They may be in distress. He gives them comfort. People aren't happy. He gives them a blessing. He feeds the hungry. You know, this is a man. He can really minister to physical needs. And people were ready to say, yeah, and he can take care of the Romans too.
Okay. Let me see. Tuck that there. Maybe that won't do it again. And so he's there, and he could have very easily ridden on the, shall we say, the wave of popularity and taken the kingdom. But God had other plans. He was dealing with the matter of fame and what should he do. Because with fame, people have expectations. People had expectations of the Lord. Well, let's look what it says here. We read on, verse 36, Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. So as I think about this, what's Peter saying? He says, Lord, boy, are you missing an opportunity. What are you doing out here where there's nobody? He got up probably around 4 a.m., before dark. Before anybody else, I would say, very few others had their eyes open or were even thinking of it. He got up early while it was still dark, and he was taking time to pray. Well, what, Lord, would you take time to pray? When you have the expectations of what people want, you have the needs that people have, the needs that people want to be healed. Shouldn't you be there dealing with what the needs are? With what the people are expected? Look what you can get. And I see in Peter are here almost a reproof. Lord, why are you here praying? You have work to do. Why take time to pray? And I see in this, and as I think about that, how many times have our friends said, come, let's do this. Come, let's do that. Here's Peter saying, Lord, you should be doing this. You should be back where the people are. Why spend time praying? But the Lord is spending time in prayer. And notice what he says in verse 38. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And they preached in their synagogues and throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Jesus had the problem of fame. And when the fame, you could say, was really pressuring him, he took time alone to pray. Time to get his thinking right. His friends came and said, you shouldn't be doing this. You should be down there busy working with the people, building the clientele you need for the kingdom. And the Lord says, no, I'm going to go elsewhere. I'm not going back. Well, Lord, there's some wonderful opportunity there in Capernaum. You want to go elsewhere? Build on this. Get a good, solid core, good, solid basis. And the Lord says, no, I have come. What did he say? Let us,
let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. You see, he could have spent a lot of time of healing. And would people have come? Yeah. But what would they be coming for? Only to be healed. And you could say a bit like, it's like this. Suppose, sometimes when you go in a store, say it could be especially an electronics store or something, you'll often have a gentleman standing at the door. And what is he? Security, right? And he has authority to stop us, right? Now, he could, if he suspects we're walking out with a five-finger discount. Now, he could spend all his time showing his credentials, right? And showing how great the badge and so forth look, how great his clothing looks and so forth. He could spend so much time doing that and never get down to actually doing the security. That's a bit like with the Lord. If he spent all his time healing, people would focus so much on that that they would miss what he really came to deal with. The miracles were his credentials. And the Lord worked hard to make sure that they focused on the message that these miracles were giving the credential for. And so he said, no, if I stay, they're going to miss the message. I have come to preach. Repent and believe the gospel. Let's go on. And he preached in the other towns there in Galilee. So how did the Lord handle fame? One. And in this, before I give the how he handled fame, how he handled fame is something that is a question that is for all of us. What do I live for? What do you live for? You can live for fame, but it'll be empty. You can live for wealth and find it leaves you penniless with the Lord. You can live for a lot of things. What do you live for? You can live for fun and find the fun dissipates after a while. It doesn't seem fun anymore. What are you living for? What did the Lord live for? He took time to pray to get his priorities right. When he could have gone on the wave of popularity, he took time alone to pray. Number two, he rejected peer pressure. The pressure of his friends, the expectations of his friends. And he focused on doing what was right in accordance with God's word. He knew God's will, and he chose that way. He prayed, he followed God, and he rejected peer pressure. Now let's go to verses 40 and 45. There's something else the Lord did. He expected people to do the will of God. You have a situation we read here. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Anybody ever seen leprosy? Remember, because I was born in Africa, one time we took a trip to a leper colony. And back then, those who had Hansen's disease, leprosy, they were banished from their normal villages and put in separate villages. I remember driving into the village, and my parents didn't let me and my sisters get out. We stayed put in the car while my dad did whatever he had to do. But some of them had no toes, they had no fingers. It was a horrible looking disease. And back in Bible times, leprosy included that disease plus other skin diseases. But so think of leprosy, it was an incurable disease. Nobody had a cure. In the Bible, Naaman the Syrian was the only one we know of who was cured. So here is a leper. He is banished from his family. If he went into the synagogue, he had to be set apart with a screen between him and the other people. He couldn't mingle in society. He struggled to get food. It was pretty nasty. And when this man comes to the Lord, he says, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." I see a man here crying with loneliness, the despair of loneliness. And the Lord does something. Now, in their culture, if somebody touched somebody who was unclean, they became unclean ceremonially. Let me illustrate a little bit like this. Suppose there's a surgeon, and he's going to operate on you. Now, you want him to clean his hands, right? Now, just suppose as he's cleaned his hands and he's heading into surgery, and he sees somebody he hasn't seen for a long time. And let's just really get the picture good. The guy's been digging ditches, so he's covered with dirt. And he reaches out, grabs his hand, hugs his hand. Does that man now become clean? No. But the Lord, moved with compassion, what did he do? He reached out and touched him. Now, the Lord didn't become unclean. Who became clean? The leper became clean. How long had he had his leprosy? I don't know. But how would you feel if you were that leper when you realized you are clean? It would have been, "Woo-hoo! I'm clean. No more leprosy. No more, I can mingle with everybody. I can see my family. I can see my friends." His thoughts must have spun what he can do now. He's clean. And what he planned to do right away, he wasn't going to delay. Then the Lord does something very interesting. Verse 41, "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." Now, verse 43, "And he straightly charged him forthwith and sent him away, and saith unto him," wait a minute. It says, "We straightly charged him and sent him away." You know, you can tell people, you know, "I think you ought to do thus and so," right? That's very gentle. But you can also say, "Now listen here, you do this." You get the idea? That's what the Lord did. He got down, really spoke harshly with the man, bluntly with the man. He said, "Now listen to me. Now look me eyeball to eyeball. I have something that you must do." And he saith unto him, "See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." But he went out and began to publish it much, and blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. The Lord said, what? "Go, show yourself to the priest, and offer thy cleansing." Look back in Leviticus. But there was a special ceremony that people who had leprosy needed to do before they were pronounced clean. The man could see he was clean, but to go back into society, he needed to go through the Mosaic ceremony first. And the Lord says, "I want you to follow the word of God. I know you're excited. I know you're thrilled to get back into society. The cleansing isn't over yet. Go show yourself to the priest." And there's something else. He says, "For a testimony to them." They need to see the credentials of his ministry eyeball to eyeball. They need to realize, maybe this man was known to the priest. I don't know. I could make a nice story, wouldn't it? In some way, he had to go to the priests and say, "Look, I am clean," and offer the different sacrifices involved. He says, the Lord says, "I want you to talk to them. Don't talk to anybody else. Go talk to them first." What did the man do? As he walks away, hey, you know what? I had leprosy, I'm clean. And he's hugging and touching everybody. Now, is that what the Lord told him to do? The Lord told him what? Obey the word of God. Obey the will of God. The Mosaic law was still in force at that time for them. But the man instead didn't do it. He talked to everybody else. And did he get results? He got results. But so much so, people were focusing on healing and not on the message that Christ came to repent and believe the gospel. He got instead disobedience. What do you live for? The Lord chose to live for God. And when he had problems with fame, and they happened several times in his ministry, Mark records it two other times, the Lord took time to pray. He took time to get his perspective. He listened and knew what God wanted, not what people necessarily wanted. Now, sometimes people can be helpful, but sometimes they may be missing the point. And he did what God wanted. He wanted people to focus not on the here and now, but he wanted them to focus on eternity, to repent and to get right with God, not just to be feeling good now. And did he care about people? He cared deeply for people. We see this with the leper. He was moved with compassion. And he reached out and he touched him. And I see in that, is I think the ache of loneliness in that man's life. And the Lord's touching him as that plea, that just dripping with agonies. He says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And I appreciate the way the leper came. He didn't disbelieve that Jesus could do it. He believed Jesus could do it. He believed Jesus had the ability. But would he? Did he care enough to do it? And Jesus did care enough for people's present situation. But more important was for their relationship with God, for obeying the Word of God. The story is told in Alice in Wonderland. She comes to a junction in the road, and the Cheshire Cat is there. And the conversation goes something like this. Cheshire Puss, would you please tell me which way I ought to go from here? And the cat says, well, it depends a good deal where you want to go. Alice replied, don't care much where. Well, it doesn't matter which way you go. What are you living for? Christ gives us an example that we should live for God. Is that what you're doing? Are you taking time to pray? Are your friends giving you wrong advice? Don't listen to them. That can be young, that can be old. We're never immune to that. Even preachers. Don't be distracted by fame and friends. Know the Word of God. I think in my own life, I've been saved around 10. Then when I was around 13, I think, we had a quartet came through at a place where my dad was starting a church. He was a minister. And this gentleman had to iron a shirt. So he found out from my mom where to iron a shirt. So he went down in the basement, because he was an American. We have basements there, especially in Maine. And as he was ironing his shirt, he shared his testimony. He was a preacher's kid. And he said the big change came in his life is when he started having personal devotions. And I thought, yeah, that's a good idea. I ought to do that too. I didn't do much. But I started, because of his testimony, just that little encouragement of having personal devotions. And as I look back over my own Christian life, that was the turning point in my life. Taking time to pray. So I'd encourage you all, don't neglect that time of prayer and devotion every day in the Word of God. That's important. That's important to know what you're living for. Not for more sleep, not for fun, not for fame. But the best thing in life is doing the will of God. Because what God offers is eternal values. It lasts forever. What we have in this life is all passing away. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All that's going to pass away. But the Word of God stands forever. Let's follow it. Be right with God. And as a college, that's our goal, to see people living for the Lord, serving Him, effective for the Lord, growing and developing throughout their lives in the wherever God has put them in the harvest field. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice we can come to Thee, and we thank Thee for Your mercy and love, and thank You for the example of the Lord, how He showed us the example of what to live for. We pray for everyone here so that they will take time to pray and follow Your Word and not be led astray by sinful friends or even well-meaning friends, but knowing Your Word and following it. We pray that for Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.